It's unchangeable, it's divine, it's powerful, and it conforms us, transforms us, sets us free from the lies. Your word is truth. Thank you that you have given us the light. Continue, we pray, even now. Give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 7 and 8, that's where we are picking up. Let me read Isaiah 43, the first couple of verses first. In case some of us here are just not sure what's going on, maybe you had a hard week, maybe you had an easy week, whatever it may be. But he says this to Israel, and we could apply that principle to our lives as well as Christians. He said, "But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Oh, I like that. You are mine. You know, we can be selfish about, that's mine, but God's a jealous God. He says, you're mine. And when he says, you're mine, no one's going to touch you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Continuing on, he says, "Now when you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Sometimes we go through trials. It's a watery type of thing. It's like wave after wave. Things are occurring. Wow, when's this going to end? Woof, woof, woof. He says, "But don't worry. I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." So there are different times of trials. Sometimes it's wave after wave. And other times it's really fiery. It's very painful. But the Lord made the promise. He said, "I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name." And that means you're his, and he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Even through the fire, quick example, then we'll go to Revelation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were captives in Babylon, and they wouldn't bow their knee to Nebuchadnezzar's statue at the point of going into the fire. If you don't bow your knee to this here statue of mine, you're going to get thrown into the fire. And they didn't bow their knee. They said, "No, we don't bow to anyone but our Lord Jesus Christ." Can I get an amen? Amen. And it's interesting. Different times during the day, we have opportunities to show our love for God, to share the light, to speak the light. I was at the gym the other day, and I'm shaving in the gym, and you know, where the benches are, and you got the lockers, and I see this gentleman, young man, maybe in his 20s, on his knees. And I'm saying, "Well, what's he looking for, you know?" And he gets up, and he goes down again on his knees. I said, "Whoa, what's going on?" And then I realized the third time, he's Muslim, and he's praying facing east or whatever they face. But he was unashamed. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And yet, sometimes we put our light under a bushel. You know, we don't want to admit, "Yeah, no, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I love the Lord Jesus Christ." Because Jesus said, "Unless you were born again." He doesn't say, "Unless you just, you know, raise your hand." He said there's a whole lifestyle to it. And don't put your light under a bushel. If you love Jesus, you shine the light. Can I get an amen? So he said, "I am with you no matter what." Now we go to verse 7 of Revelation chapter 21. And the title is called Overcomers. Overcomers. He says, "Now he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." So what is he saying? You will, if you overcome, you will inherit these things. Well, let's go back to verse 3 and see what he's talking about. He said, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them." So that's the first thing. God himself is going to be walking around with his people in this new glorified body, in this new place that he's prepared for us. And he goes on by saying, "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be mourning or crying or pain, because these first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these things, these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last. I am the beginning and the end, and I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost, because Christ paid the cost. Now, so he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You know, interesting, in the first couple of chapters, the phrase, to him who overcomes, I will give him this, I will give him that, to the seven churches. The seven represents the complete church age. So here's what he said to the church of Ephesus. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise of God. And he says that to each of these seven churches when you read chapters 2 and 3. To he who overcomes. So there's something of an emphasis that the Lord is talking about for us to overcome. And so I want to give you some teaching on how do we overcome. There was a story in the book of Genesis between Cain and Abel. The Lord received a sacrifice from Abel, and it was a first of the flock. It was the blood sacrifice. And Cain brought a sacrifice, the fruit of the ground. And God rejected that because he was making a type of that the only sacrifice that he'll accept is the blood sacrifice, which would come to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. So Cain got pretty upset. And here's what the Lord said to Cain in Genesis 4:7. I'm reading from a modern version. It says, God is speaking, if you had done the right thing, you would be smiling. But because you have done evil, sin is crouching at your door, and it wants to rule over you, but you must overcome it. You must overcome. Disobedience without repentance, you won't overcome, you will succumb. And so what happened was with Cain, he didn't repent. His anger turned into murder, and he wound up killing his brother Abel. But he said, sin is crouching at your door. It's like a lion in bushes waiting, just waiting for you to make that ultimate decision of following through on disobedience. So disobedience can be overcome. You could just say, God, I blew it, forgive me, and you're good to go. But if you hold on to it, it's going to ferment and it's going to turn into something very ugly and bad. So we must overcome our disobedience by talking to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. Overcoming temptation. How many people here get tempted? I mean, if you don't raise your hand, then you're being tempted not to raise your hand. But we all get tempted, whether it be this, that, or the other thing. It's love not the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But we get tempted to go ahead of God rather than to follow what God is saying. But he does give us a promise. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, no temptation, that's none, has overtaken you, but such as common to man, because God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But here's the answer. But with that temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. That's beautiful. He says, you're not going to get tempted to the point where you have to give in. He said, but with that temptation, I will provide a way of escape. Why? Because I'm faithful. God is faithful. You're not. But I'm faithful. And it might be a small area where you escape. You know, coming over the bridge this morning, I thought I was ahead of the game. The bridge closes at 7 o'clock in the morning from Staten Island. And we always leave, my wife and I, at 6 o'clock. In the morning, and I go not too far, and I got an entrance right onto the highway, and from there I get on, and there's no problem. But this time, the big garbage trucks were blocking it purposely, all the entrances to get onto the highway for whatever reason. So there was such a gridlock from all directions, south, north, all moving. So this is 6. The bridge closes at 7. I'm there now at 6:30, 6:35, saying, man, we're not moving. I'm not going to make it. So I'm thinking plan B. How am I going to get out of here? And I'm jammed in, left, right. I can't move. And all of a sudden, I'm looking to my left, and I see the highway, and I see all the cars zipping by on the freeway. I'm saying, well, the freeway's free. So on my right, there's this big van. We're all clunked together. And he finds a path some way, a door opened or a car moved, and he was able to make a right-hand turn down a block. And that was, and I'm right next to him, so oh, that's where I'm going. So I just followed him, went down that block, and I said, okay, now where am I going to go? I'm telling this to say there was a plan of escape that God gave me. And he's faithful. Some way, somehow, whether it's a temptation or you're stuck somewhere, he's faithful to provide a way of escape. You just have to follow it. So I followed this path and went through the streets. And I recognized that, wow, all these entrances about a mile down are closed to get on to go over the bridge. So I just kept going a couple of miles, and I seen there was no garbage truck as I'm driving by. I'm seeing the traffic still moving on the left side going over, going towards the bridge. And there's my spot. The entrance was there, so I got off that exit, made a turn, went on, and boom, I got over the bridge, I think, 5 to 7. It was a close call, but I would have made it anyway. I would have swam. I don't know. I would have got over here some way. But I'm saying that to say God is faithful. He will provide a way of escape. It may not be something that you have to make the effort. Put it that way. That's the bottom line. You have to make the effort. He'll provide the way of escape when temptation comes. But you have to, and listen, temptation comes to everybody. No matter who you are, no matter how godly you are, but it's up to you and I to turn the other way, to get away from it some way. For instance, if you've got a problem with drinking, don't walk on the side of the street where the liquor store is or where there's advertisement. You got to fight this, and you will, because God is faithful. You just have to do the legwork. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we can overcome temptation. We can also overcome our past mistakes, condemnation. And I'll give you the scripture verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It tells this, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ has come. Listen to this part. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. So when you read in context, there was a war in heaven, and the angels were thrown down along with Satan. Satan, he's referring to, is the accuser of the brethren. You might think, well, it's my conscience, this and that. It could be. But you got to understand, too, that God has cleansed our conscience. Can't always follow your conscience. Conscience works at certain times, but sometimes conscience is like the law. It's very demanding. It'll always, after you do something, yeah, but you didn't do enough. And it's always that way. But here it says, the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. And then it goes on in verse 11 to say, what happened to the people who were going through the fire during the tribulation? And they overcame him, who's him? Satan, the prosecutor, the accusatory prosecutor. Why is that? Because of the blood of the Lamb, number one, Jesus Christ paid the price. Number two, the word of their testimony. And number three, they did not love their own life even when faced with death. We'll talk about those things briefly. But the main thing was because of the blood of the Lamb. The price was paid. If you blew it and you asked for forgiveness, it's done. You don't have to rehash it or relive it or just beat yourself. That was part of some of the old schools where they would flagellate themselves, you know, for penance, for punishment, beat themselves. You see that too in certain countries that honor the cross. They'll carry the cross and they'll even get the wounds on their hands of Christ to show their sincerity, but they're sincerely wrong. The price has been paid. You can't add one thing to it. Now, when we do sin and we ask for forgiveness, don't get me wrong, your soul was pierced, and that takes a while to heal. Forgiven, yes, but the soul and the emotions got to get healed again, and that sometimes takes a little bit longer. But the forgiveness is there. So he said, the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, and they overcame him, Satan, the accuser of the... You say, does he really accuse? The story of Job. In heaven, we don't know exactly what it all looks like, but there's the outer courts. And Satan would come to the outer courts every day and say, hey, what about Job? No, God said, do you see my servant Job? And Satan would say, yeah, he's following you because you're protecting his home, or you're protecting his kids, or you're protecting his health. And the Lord said, okay, test him, see what happens. So he tested, he lost his home, his kids, everything died. He had this plague on him, his health and everything. And his wife said, Job, curse God and die. And he said, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. God gives and God takes. He stood up in faith. But Satan was accusing God of Job's faith in God. And God said, no, you could test him. He is the accuser of the brethren. But when you got Christ, the blood of Christ, don't receive it. Just move on. You say, well, isn't that kind of prideful? No, it's not. Take his forgiveness. Take it to heart and walk in that power of forgiveness. You can't pay for it. Can I get an amen? Continuing on, let's back that scripture up with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You write it down. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, of grace, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Wow. You see, the law doesn't save you. It just points out to you your sins. One time I gave the illustration, I heard it from, I think, Angelo years ago. When you stand on a scale, the scale doesn't help you lose weight. It tells you how much weight you are. And the law doesn't help you to stop sinning. It shows you that you have sin. And once you know that you have sin, you're now able to ask God for forgiveness. So the law points out your sin. It doesn't save you from sin. And so once you come to Christ, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, there's now no condemnation. Theology is so important. The Word of God is theology. Memorized scripture is very important. Some of these scriptures that I'm giving you are lifetime scriptures that have saved me and I walk through. And I'm giving them to you so that you could write them down and you could memorize them yourself, because there'll be a day when you're going to have to call on the Word of God that's in your memory bank. Did you ever hear the story, what is it, Gigo, garbage in, garbage out? You know, if you just get all this garbage in your head, it's going to come out of your mouth. It's just garbage. So put the Word of God in your head and it's going to come out. So that scripture verse of Romans 8:1 is a very important one. And here's the second one that backs it up. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God the Father, he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin in your behalf and my behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the key word, in him. So when you accepted Christ, theology, you were in him, and he paid the price so you didn't feel a thing. He paid the price of God's wrath. You didn't feel a thing because you were in him, superimposed. And so now his righteousness, you're in him, and that's superimposed into you. You are righteous because Jesus is righteous. Can I get an amen? And that's a beautiful thing, but it takes faith to act upon that and believe it. Can God really forgive me? Are you doubting the power of God? If God gave his only son, of course he can forgive you. So don't doubt it. Receive it and say, thank you. Isn't it kind of bold? And no. It's taking God at his word, and that's very blessed. Now, there's an example in the scripture. I always like to use examples of this Satan accusing this high priest whose name was Joshua. It's found in Zechariah chapter 3. Let's turn to the middle of your Bible and then turn to your left a couple of pages and you'll come to the book of Zechariah. And so Zechariah was the high priest. Joshua was the high priest. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, which many times in the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. He's called the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to what? To accuse him. So here was Jesus, and here was Satan. Satan is saying, Joshua, he's a sinner, he's this, he's that. And listen to what God says. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? See, Ephesians 1 tells us that he has chosen us in Christ. You're a chosen person. You say, oh, you mean so all the others he just disregarded? No, you're chosen in him. God knew you would accept him, his son Jesus. And so you're chosen not because of yourself, but because you're in Christ. So the Lord said to Satan, I rebuke you. This is a chosen vessel that I have chosen. And so for you and me, his ownership of you is so important. No one can take that away. No one can outbuy God. No one could outwit God. If you belong to him, your stamp, the Holy Spirit is on you, in you. Can I get an amen? So I want to walk in that new identity. Now, let's move on. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And then it goes on and said, now Joshua, here's the illustration or the type. Joshua had these dirty old clothes on, which was a type of his sin. It reads, verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, standing before the angel. And he spoke and he said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and you will be clothed with the festal clothes. So the type of sin was the filthy clothes. And he said, remove them. When you accepted Christ, your sins were removed. Boom. And he put on you a spirit of praise, a spirit of glory to God. There's so many scriptures to understand. The joy of thy salvation. David said when he was sinning with Bathsheba and later he asked for forgiveness, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Jesus said this, do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I like to rejoice. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, we could walk around with long pushes all day long. I like joy. How many like joy? I like joy. And you know the acronym of joy, Jesus, others, yourself. You put him first, others second, and yourself third, and you're going to have joy. But the joy of your salvation is so beautiful. Sing songs. There's a song, and you got to bear with me for a minute there. You ready for it? Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. How about this? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. Listen, it's so important to memorize these little jingles. They really get you through today. I've been singing after the last couple of days, and, you know, it's in the back of my head from years ago, and it comes out at different times. So I encourage you, learn little jingles of God's, you know, songs that kids can sing, and you're a kid in God's eyes, and it just lifts you up. So he gave Joshua, he said, put on a festivity of clothing on him, and the joy of the Lord, his sins were forgiven. And if you can't rejoice in anything, rejoice that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. Amen? So let's move a little bit. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions for us. So when you're forgiven, he says, as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you go in outer space and you go east and you go west, they never meet. It's infinite. They just keep going and going and going. So he says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins will never be brought up again. He doesn't bring them up. You bring them up maybe in your own mind. But God has forgiven. He's forgotten. You say, does he really forget? Yeah, he can. God forget? If he chooses not to remember, that be his business. And if he doesn't choose, if he does choose not to remember my sins, it's only because of the blood of his son Jesus, which supersedes my memory or his memory. It's his son. He puts all his love in his son and his son's sacrifice. And he says, that's why I don't remember your sins, because of the love for my son. Now, how about overcoming? It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We got that. By the word of their testimony. Your testimony is victory. Your testimony is what God has done for you. Never be ashamed. Well, where'd you go today? I went out with, I guess I went to church. No, I went to see Jesus. I went to hear the word of God. Well, why do you do that? Because I was a sinner, but now I'm just saved. I belong to Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed. The word of their testimony. He said this in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth, important, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto justification, and with the mouth it results in salvation. So first it's in the heart, because anyone can confess with their mouth. But he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. So it begins in the heart. So when you come to Christ, it's not always a one-shot deal. Sometimes you got to come back and reinforce it. Not that saying that God's salvation isn't secure one time you did it, but I think sometimes for our own faith, we have to make more than one announcement that we love Jesus, or more than one announcement that I believe his blood saved me. That's fine. If sometimes you feel you need to come forward again, you come forward, because it's between you and the Lord. Amen? So what about, he said, if you confess, you'll be saved. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their life. You want to overcome in your life depression? You want to overcome in your life always feeling confused or mixed up? No psychiatrist is going to help you. There's not an amount of pills you could take that's going to deliver you. It might subdue it a little bit, but that deep root is there. That deep root is not having God. That deep root is not following the truth of God. Honestly, I believe a person could go and take some, whatever it takes to calm them down. I don't believe, okay, we don't need any medicine, and if I take medicine, I don't have faith. I don't believe that. I believe God gives them the doctors. He's given us medicine. But it's not the medicine that's going to cure you. It's the word of God. It's believing the truth that will cure you. So, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their life. You know why there's so much problems in our society? Because we love our lives too much. Narcissism. It's all about me, myself, and I. Your pride gets hurt. I don't like what he said or she said about me. You love yourself too much. It's not the lack of love that you have. Well, I don't have love. No one loves me. Maybe you're loving yourself too much. It's time to get out of yourself. It's time to just saying, God loves me. That's all I need to know. And if God loves me, so what? You cannot like me, but that's fine. If I need to change, God will help me to change. I got that. But he says here, they love not their life, even unto death. He said in 2 Corinthians concerning that, come out from the midst and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and you will be, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. So there is a separation that has to take place. If you want to get healed in your head and you want to overcome certain things, there has to be a separation. It might be music. It might be social media. It might be TV. I don't care what it is. Whatever you have to do, you separate yourself in order to get victory. Can I get an amen? If you do it half-heartedly, it's not going to work. You know, a drug addict can't, well, I'm going to just drink on weekends. It doesn't work that way. Oh, hey, I'm only going to, you know, look at girls once in a while and I marry. It doesn't work that way. You have to walk the straight and narrow and you get the victory. And when you get the victory, it's no longer a big struggle. The struggle is crossing over. Can I get an amen? But he says very clearly, they love not their life. I have to love the life that God has given me, because the devil, I got him beat by accusing me. I got him beat by understanding he's going to tempt me, but he's going to provide a way of escape. I just got to follow it. But now I got to overcome that temptation also by not giving in to worldly desires and start separating myself from certain issues. Can someone say amen? It's true. It's true. This is what God has called us to do. So now we go to verse 8. I'm glad, Pastor, you're only doing two verses. Okay. So verse 8. But for the cowards and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Whoa, that's heavy. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Unbelievers. Now, we have our issues. We're believers, and we at times are cowards. We don't stand up the way we should. I understand that. Doesn't mean you go into the lake of fire. But these unbelievers are cowards. Now, understand this. The opposite of being a coward is being courageous. Courageous is not the absence of fear. Courageous, or being, having courage, is going forward in spite of fear. It's not the absence of it. I read a story of John Wayne. John Wayne, they said, well, what is being courageous? He said, being courageous is I'm scared skinny, but I still saddle up. That's John Wayne. So being courageous doesn't mean it's an absence of fear. It means you do the right thing in spite of fear. So here we have people who are cowards, they're unbelievers, liars. God doesn't like lying. Now sometimes we get into that category and we fudge it a little bit. God doesn't like lying. Speak the truth in love, he says, and that'll set you free. But out of fear, sometimes we lie or we stretch it a little bit. Well, try not to go down that route. Just be honest. Honest with God. With an honest and good heart, you grow fruit. And then we learn from that pain. All right, so I learned from, I'm not trying to cover it, my sin. I'm not trying to, you know, justify it or rationalize it. Hey, I blew it, man. And that's a good place to be and say, God, forgive me. And then you learn for the next time, right? That's how it works. It's like a child. You say, okay, don't worry. But if you give a little tap, tap, you know, okay, they understand a little bit better. So they overcame because they love not their lives. Here is one thing you want to remember above all things. Faith. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith is not your feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. Feelings will say, no, my heart is telling me this. It doesn't matter what your heart's telling you. If the word of God says don't do it, you don't do it. Can I get an amen? So faith says, well, but that means it's going to cause me pain and sacrifice. That's okay. If it's of the Lord, it's going to happen. It's going to be okay. If it's not of the Lord, then you let it go. You say, okay, Lord, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I would rather have little with the Lord than have an abundance without the Lord, right? So, faith is the key. It says, and you guys know this scripture, they that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. Hebrews 11:6. Diligently seek him by faith. He's a rewarder. No ticky, no shirty. No faith, you don't get it. So learn to walk by faith and not by your feelings. We all have big hearts. But if you let your heart rule your life, it's going to ruin your life. Now, if you just go by the word of God without any feelings, you're going to be a Pharisee. He's given us a heart for a reason, but he's given us a mind too. Body, soul, and spirit. Love the Lord thy God. So we overcome by following these things. You know, when it comes to unbelieving, when I was a young Christian long time ago, I went to the extremes, as some of us might have. But it was okay, because at the extreme, God met me and said, okay, back off, you're going too far. Okay, but at least I went too far than too less. And it says this, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who's in heaven. But everyone, or whoever believes, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father's in heaven. You acknowledge me before men, I'm going to acknowledge you before God and my angel. You deny me before men, he said, I'm going to deny you before my Father and the angels. So there's some giddy up scripture here that's getting us off of the luxury of just sitting by. But no, we have to speak up. Confess him before men. Don't deny him. Here's one more on that, and then we'll close with this one thought. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but their deeds deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. People can profess, oh, I believe in God, but show me the money. Show me your actions. Faith without is dead. So does that mean I live a perfect life? No. But I have to be honest with myself. If you're not honest with yourself, how could you allow God to change us if we can't be honest? It's scary to be in God. I fear you. I'm scared to even admit that. I got this. I know you already. He sets you free when you can admit it, when you can humble yourself, when you can ask for forgiveness. That's freedom. That's not, okay, God's going to get me now. No, he's going to set you free now. I think the hardest part is for us to admit it. We're in denial. But he says here, their deeds deny their confession. So let our confession match up to our deeds. Can I get an amen? The last point, and I find this very applicable for many of us, the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. There was a drought for 3.5 years. Ahab was after Elijah. Elijah said, okay, I'm here now. And he said, it's going to be an okay corral meeting here. You remember that story, okay corral? And he said, get all of the Israel here to this mountain, Mount Carmel. And bring all of the false prophets of Baal and of Asherim. And when you put it together with these numbers, it was 850 false prophets. Come on. Okay, corral, Mount Carmel. Let's meet up there. And you know the story. He brings down fire and the sacrifice, God consumed by fire. But before that, here's what Elijah said to Israel, to all of Israel who were listening. I don't know, thousands of no doubt were on this mountain watching. Yeah, we're going to see a fight. We're going to see something happen. And he asks this question. Then Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar which the Lord had torn. But he said to them as well, how much longer will you try to have things both ways? If the Lord is God, worship him. But if it's Baal, worship him. And the people didn't answer a word. Took the fifth. He said, if it's God, worship him. If it's Baal, worship him. But they were hesitant between two. They were trying to carry, to do both ways, the world and follow God. But Elijah and God wouldn't have that. Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my household, we will choose the Lord thy God. And I believe when he says that he came now to repair the altar, they neglected it. They neglected worshiping God. They neglected giving their hearts to God. And so Elijah repaired it with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And on that altar, he put this sacrifice and drenched it with water. And the false prophets of Baal were cutting themselves, calling on their God. And Elijah was just taking it easy, saying, did he come yet? Maybe he had to go to the restroom. That's what it actually was saying. So they waited. They cut themselves. They screamed more. Nothing happened. But Elijah said, God, show that you are God. Fire came. Whoosh! And then all the people started following. But I believe God is saying to you and me today, we're at the end. It's time. Don't hesitate between two opinions. If it's the Lord, follow him with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If it's Baal, if it's the falseness of this world, then follow him. Because you might as well get all you can in your flesh, because you're going to suffer for the eternity. And to me, that's not worth it. But follow the Lord. We can overcome. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, your word of your testimony, and you love not your own life. You separate. You overcome because the blood of Jesus Christ overcame your guilt. There's no condemnation. Repair the altar in your life. Maybe you've been backsliding. Maybe you haven't been God all. Maybe you've been rationalized, justifying, lying, playing the game. Well, I'm pretty good, but I got this to do and that to do, and it's really just a bogus excuse. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to say, no, I'm going to man up to what I am. And God, you're going to change me because you love me. With every head bowed, before we have communion, sometimes the word of God is like a fire. It burns, it hurts. Sometimes it's like a sword. It sticks you. Other times it's a comforter. He's a good God. But I would rather hear the truth and say, God, are you speaking to me? Because the Bible says, let him who have ears hear what the Spirit has to say. And to him who overcomes, I will grant him this, grant him that. Are you an overcomer? If you want to overcome, pray this prayer with me. And let God give you grace, because he promises he will. First and foremost, is there anyone here who's never accepted Jesus Christ and you want to do that right now? Raise your hand and say, I want Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need forgiveness. Go ahead, raise it up. Don't hide it. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Is there anyone here who needs to repair the altar? Maybe you've been neglecting. Maybe you've been vacillating between the world and God, and you've been holding back. Is there anyone here that wants to repair the altar of their life? Raise the hand. God bless you. God bless you. So what is God saying to you? I think if you cannot think of one thing that you need to ask God for forgiveness for, one thing, I'm being a little bold here, but if you can't ask or remember one thing that you need forgiveness for, you're a stone as a rock. You need to open up and you need to ask God, because you're not being honest with yourself. God will forgive whatever it was, but if we're just saying, yeah, I'm good, I heard, it's going in one ear and out the other ear, and it's for them, it's not for me, you are so mistaken. God is speaking to the church, and he's shaking us up. So when you leave here and when you take communion, talk to the Lord before you take communion. If there's something that you know you've been hiding, ask him for forgiveness before you take communion, and watch what he does. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, as we depend on your blood right now for the forgiveness of sins. And we ask even now, Jesus, that you give us grace to repair those areas with forgiveness, with repentance, with redoing the things of our first love. And so fill us now with your presence, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As the team comes up and gives out communion, if you're a believer, but if you're not, I wouldn't take it.
God is able.
And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, there's nothing magical here, but we remember you and your love for us. And help us, Lord, and I'm included in that, to appreciate more of who you are and what you did. Lord, open our eyes to see the tremendous love and sacrifice that you had for us as individuals. You personally know each one of our names. So we do this in remembrance of your love for us and your sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The new covenant. It's a covenant of grace. He paid the price. The law is our tutor that leads us to Christ. We could not keep the law. We broke it. But Christ has forgiven us. If you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he has forgiven you. Let's partake.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we got the victory.
Yeah.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Why don't you tell me who can stand before us when we call? On my way to heaven, shouting victory.
That's right.
On my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. Yeah. On my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. And I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Well, now the devil had me bound,
but Jesus set me free.
Hallelujah.
The devil had me bound. But Jesus set me free.
Well, the devil had me bound.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus set me free.
Singing glory, hallelujah.
Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah.
Jesus set me free.
Come on, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we thank you for this time. May we go out singing, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name we say,
amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.